All right, let's open our Bibles to Galatians, in chapter 3. Now, for lack of other titles, because as I move ahead, I said something in that second service there that I believe might be more closely akin to the title. But we're going to call it Living in the Supernatural.
Amen.
Living in the Supernatural. All right. I'd like to read this and we'll go from there. Let's start reading at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law? How about the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Amen. All right, now we had just finished our teaching here pretty much on the subject of manifesting sons of God. And I just find that even as God continues to give me these teachings, he's still giving them to me line upon line here. And that this manifesting as sons of God, we taught on the subject of vengeance and recompense, of which we talked about vengeance. And how it has nothing to do with anger or hatred or bitterness or any kind of emotional retaliation, but it has to do with the justice that proceeds out of the heart of God and it's necessary for punishing offenders and something that is a very basic foundation of God's throne. The Bible says over in Psalm chapter 97, 2, that judgment and righteousness, justice and righteousness, or the habitation or foundation of God's throne. Now that's key because as we go out in this world today, that when there is no justice, everything falls apart. And that God spoke about his people in Psalm 82. He said, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty and judge among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept a person of the wicked, Selah, defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy? Said, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Have I not said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High? So here he's talking about defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. So when we say a church, and a church that has lost its voice for justice is really a church that has lost its relevance in the world. And that we want to bring that part back. And a lot of times, justice was not mentioned by the church. And the reason why is because the church was part of the injustice. And so what we have to do now, we have to straighten up and fly right, as we say in flying. So we have to do that. We have to come back to justice because justice is a vital part of kingdom manifestation. One of the things God wants us to do is manifest his kingdom in the earth. And to do that, justice has to be a part of it, along with integrity, along with love, along with faith, along with joy, peace, all of that. Justice is a part of that as well. So we are sent to establish that kingdom, and wherever he sends us, he expects us to rule, expects us to be able to govern it. And we talked about the attributes of the kingdom of God relative to the attributes of the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God is love. Kingdom of darkness is hate and all of that. And the kingdom of God's attributes are much more powerful than those that are in the darkness. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than what? Darkness, okay? So all of that. All right, so we said that God is sending us to restore and to replenish. I had a person heard a person give a definition of replenishment, what I thought is really good. Perpetually renew and supply. Replenish means to perpetually renew and supply. So God sends us in there with a blessing. Say, I have the blessing. And this blessing is key because it gives us the power, empowers us to get certain things done. And so what we said is that a lot of God's people just been getting saved and really not getting the recompense that God has planned for them to get in their lives. Recompense has to do with repaying or has to do with somebody having to be paid damages for what has been done or what has been suffered, some affliction. And that the enemy has to pay that. We say we're not looking at people because people are not our source. And people are really not the culprit. The main culprit is the devil. Jesus identified that many times. He told in one place, the enemy has done this. He told him in another place, the thief cometh not for to steal, kill, and destroy. Many times. So we have a higher authority that we can take matters to, and that's authority of the government of God. And there's a Supreme Court in heaven, just like there's one in Washington, D.C., in this country. And so we said that the person of the Holy Ghost is now, the ministry of Christ has been duly and completely turned over to him, the person of the Holy Ghost, and that his number one job is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him, meaning that he's going to be the one that makes sure justice is done and that we move the kingdom forward, because that's the biggest thing we came to do, advance the kingdom of God. And we said also that Jesus, when he left this earth, the latter rain began, which began the day of God's vengeance. And so this is your season of manifestation. So whatever is tampering with your destiny, whatever is trying to stop your career, whatever has been messing with you or tampering with your business or your children, whatever it is, God is commanding vengeance starting now. That those things are going to be moved out of your way. So whatever has been resisting you, God's going to deal with it, and it shall be stopped right now. So this is the essence of it. We read a prayer for you to pray so that you can get the recompense of God moved in your life. You got saved, but that's not all. And recompense, we said, is not just money. But remember, when they came out of Egypt, it came out Psalm 105, verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble one among their tribes, meaning not one sick person. So I believe that the recompense of God covers also healing your body, healing your mind, taking away all the bitterness out of your system, so forth and so on. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, but as we go now, we pass through a word called sanctification. And sanctification is kind of an interesting thing. The Bible talks about that God has given to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. And now this sanctification is something that God is at work in us. That once we get born again, right away we got separated from the world. But the reality of us being separated from the world has to be continuous in our lives. In other words, it's not just a one-step kind of thing. It's that you continue to get sanctified. And when we say get sanctified, now, wait a minute. Let me share with this on this vengeance and recompense. God is not mad at people. Yoo-hoo. All right. God is not in the business of killing anybody. So if you look at that, you'll see that in Ezekiel chapter 18, he says in verse 23, Have I any pleasure at all in the wicked should die, that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and that he should return from his ways and what? And live. So God has no desire that anybody should die. He's a God of love, a God of life. So sanctification now is key, because that message that I taught on manifesting sons of God and vengeance and recompense was really, I said, is for grown folk. What it means is this message is designed to help you grow up. And do you know, I find that, let me just keep going. So sanctification is a part of that, meaning that you're more separate from the world. Even though you're in it, you're still separate from it, more so than you've been before. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying you're more in love with Jesus next year than you were last year. Okay? I mean, you and God are becoming one. I mean, you're beginning to think like Him, operate like Him, speak, so forth and so on. All right, so now what I'm doing is reading this particular part here on living in the supernatural. Look at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. As we go into these last days, the last of the last days, praise God, we're going to have to engage in the supernatural. The natural is not going to do it for us. We're going to have to cross that barrier and get on into the supernatural. Now, one of the things about the supernatural or miracles is we've got to get ourselves free from condemnation. And this condemnation is something that the enemy tries to use to keep God's people from growing and from the continual process of growth and sanctification. The greater your growth, or the more you separate from the world, the more you can see the world as it is. The enemy is out to contain us. His battle is a battle of containment. He know you got saved, but he's trying to keep you from being effective. So in that, he tries to put boundaries, of course, in our lives. Now, the boundaries that are in our lives are not coming from the outside. They're coming from the inside. He talks about renewing our mind. He talks about the spirit of our mind. He talks about that we go from milk to strong meat. These boundaries inside. So what you can do in your life is not a function of what you can do physically. It's a function of what's in your spirit and how you believe and the image that you have of yourself and of God. Let me just try to understand this. Let's go to Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 1. Here's a prayer I pray about every day. And he says in verse 9, "For this cause also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." This is the Apostle Paul. "That we might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, and strength with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." All right. So now, he is talking about here that in verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Now that's where the enemy doesn't want you. Because what you've seen for the most part in the earth today is not a result of the increase in the knowledge of God. It's a knowledge of man. It's where we've gone to school, we've learned through experimentation, so forth and so on, and done some things. And that's fine, that's good. But we need the knowledge of God, that no matter how many degrees somebody has, they need the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God, if somebody's got a disease and the physician says, "There's nothing I can do for you." And then all of a sudden you take them to a place of a man or woman who has the knowledge of God. Then they can just pray and lay hands on the sick and they recover. Now that's the knowledge of God. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying you got to leave that other place. Understand that is good. But if you don't have the knowledge of God, you don't have knowledge. You don't have the effective knowledge that's going to be needed in these last days so that you can finish the work God's called you to do, but so you can help humanity. Yes, knowledge of God. Now remember what I told you about Babylon. It hates the knowledge of God. It does not want the knowledge of God in here. So what we got to do is come back over to the knowledge of God and have the knowledge of God as a premium in terms of what our desires are. I desire the knowledge of God. Amen. That's what I want to know. I want to know the knowledge of God. Got it? Amen. Okay. You get knowledge of God and you're superior to anything that's in the earth. Amen. All right. Let's keep going with this. So Paul is saying we're supposed to increase. That means you're not supposed to stop where you are. You don't know everything now, but you're learning and getting the knowledge of God. Now, as we look at the scripture, it talks about that the Spirit, glory to God, let me just say it again. This is over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. The works of the law. Now, again, the devil is working on a battle of containment. He's trying to keep you from going any further. He couldn't stop you from getting saved, but he's trying to keep you from growing up, trying to keep you from being effective for the kingdom. Now, one of the ways he tries to do that, when I read works of the law, it reminds me of religion. Now, religion is an interesting thing. Because according to Paul's writing in Timothy, Paul says something in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of good, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, this whole this whole idea of religion, I think Satan uses it not only to bind people, but to blind people. And if you'll turn back with me to 2 Kings, in 2 Kings chapter 18, this is an account of when Hezekiah became king. And in this time of his rulership, some interesting things happened. Verse 1. And it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. All right, now what has happened here? This says in verse 4, he break in pieces the brazen serpent. Now, if you put a reference there, it's Numbers 21, starting in verse 9. God had them in Numbers 21 set up a pole and make a brass serpent and wrap it around that pole. Now, brass is a sign of divine judgment. So the children of Israel were being bitten by snakes because of their disobedience and rebellion. Now God was providing healing. So he had this brass snake to be wrapped on a pole and had it so that they would actually look on that pole. Anyone that looked on that pole with that brass serpent was healed. Got it? All right. This was something that appealed to their senses so that they could lock on and focus themselves on something that was there that they could identify with or something that they could look on and get healed. So they did that and got healed. But then as they traveled through the wilderness, they took the pole with them. Now, years later, they're burning incense to this pole. Oh, great pole. Now, you hear what I'm talking about now? That this pole was for a point in time where they needed deliverance. And God provided it. He didn't provide it for them to worship the pole. Are you with me now? But it's God that is to be worshiped. See? And he said in the last days, people are going to start worshiping the creature more than the creator. And folks, that's true. They'll give more attention to somebody mistreating a dog than they are with somebody mistreating a person. And that's what society has been. That's the enemy's work. Don't blame people. That's what's going on. Do you hear what I'm saying? All these 26,000 people a day are starving for poverty-related things, diseases, so forth and so on, because they don't have enough to eat or don't have any resources. 26,000 a day. But yet we're kicking up all this grief about a dog. Now you hear what I'm telling you? This is a trick of the enemy. Not that we're supposed to mistreat animals. I'm not talking about that. But what about mankind? What about all the young sex slave young girls that have been taken in bondage? Don't say nothing about that. That ain't getting that much play. But them dogs, you hit one of them, boy, they're going to have you. You're going to mistreat you. You're going to save the whale. So I'm all right with that. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. Not mistreating. I'm just saying, what about this? See? And so here they are. In this pole, he had to destroy that thing. Had to break it up. Because they had camped around about it with religion. And religion simply is someone who has formed a moratorium on revelation. In other words, they got a little drop of something one time and then they camped around that. They put the whole denomination was built around that. Everything, we got this, we are the such and such, and we got this revelation. But when they fenced themselves in like that, they couldn't go any further because they think they got it all. And that's why in the scriptures he said, hey, wait a minute. The reason why people don't get this new wine is because they say the old wine is better. I don't want to go any further. I got it all. You don't have nothing. No, Paul says you're going to increase in knowledge. He's got to increase you in knowledge because he's going to have bigger tasks for you to perform. He's going to have greater revelation, greater manifestation, greater miracles for you to see. Does this make sense to you? Yes. Now, so religion, a form of God. So one of the biggest things religion lacks is fruit. Now, by the way, let me show you another one because you're the last class here. I call you class right now. Turn to Exodus, please, and Exodus in chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Let me know when you get there. Verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as far as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Well, break off some golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and come on, bring them to me. And all the people break off golden earrings, which were in the ears, and brought them to Aaron, and he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a golden a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast of the Lord. And they arose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now, God spoke to Moses. The Lord said to Moses, Get you down, for thy people which thou brought out of the land of Egypt. I like he put that on Moses. The people that you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves and turned aside quickly out of the way, so forth and so on. Now, understand what they did. Moses went up there and stayed 40 years. And then they said, Hey, I don't know what's happened to him. Let's make us a god here. And so what happened is they formed this fashioned this fatted calf. They fashioned this golden calf. Now, my point to you is, where did they get the earrings and all of that from? Where did they get it from? They got it from Egypt. That was part of the wealth transfer. But what did they do with the wealth? They started worshiping it. Got it? And if people don't have Babylon out of their system, if you give them that money, they will start worshiping that money. I'm telling you, you won't see them in church no more. You let them, I'm telling you, you let them get, you give them too much too quick, and yet the last, you can adios them, because that's the last you've seen of them. They will worship that car. They will worship that 8-bedroom home. I'm telling you, they can't get to church today because, you know, it's snowing a little bit, honey. I can't get out today. Praise the Lord. All of that. That is pure religion. Let's keep going. All right, I'm going to step on your toes today here. So what am I saying? Religion. One of the things about religion also is it takes a form of legalism sometimes. Legalism. It's a controlling thing. Designed to control you. Make you think that you never got it all together. That you can never really make it. That you just got to resolve to stay where you are because you can't make it. I'm all this and you're not that. And I'm just using this as an example now. My point to you is that's what religion does. It keeps trying to point out where you sinned. And it doesn't point to where you can get forgiven. It keeps the sin in front of you. Now, if you can tell when those spirits are dealing with you, because they won't let you receive, they try to fight you receiving your forgiveness that you have from God. Now, think about it. Every one of us come in this place with a background. Am I right about it? Now, understand, when you come in, get born again, the background is erased. Glory to God. I understand now. Now, you got to receive that. But sanctification means that you might miss it on the way to development. So if you miss it on the way to development, now you got to call on that same Jesus. Come on now, because the blood is still flowing, and that you got to call on him and say, wait a minute, Father, I missed it on this thing. Now I confess my sin. Now I'm not talking about trying to give people a reason to sin. That is not, if you're hearing that, you're hearing the wrong thing. My point to you is the law will condemn you. And it wasn't designed to perfect you. It wasn't designed to perfect you. If it was, it would have perfected him. Wasn't designed. He said, unless you exceed the law of the Pharisees, he said, you can't enter the kingdom. My point to you is you got to get the grace of God in your life. You got to be willing to let God cleanse you. You got to be willing to let God be able to work to develop you. Say amen to that. You can't do it yourself. If I take a book and I start holding this book up, I can hold this book up. Praise God. Well, come back to me in about 3 hours. Come on now. This book just got heavy. Well, come back in another hour. My arm is slowly coming down. Why? Because I'm trying to stay straight myself. I'm trying to do it all in my strength. It wasn't designed that you do it all in your strength. The forces of evil are too strong for you to do it in your strength. You need to drop back in the arms of Jesus and say, wait a minute, I need your grace so that I can run this race. And that's what he does. He comes in at you. But people who are legalistic don't want you to take that avenue. They don't even want to preach. They don't want to preach because they're saying you're giving these people an excuse to sin. You don't need no excuse to sin. You're going to sin without an excuse. My point to you is that what I'm doing is giving you a way out. I'm giving you a way that you can be rescued. See, when you get out from under that legalism piece, the condemnation has to go. And the reason why the enemy can keep condemnation in people's minds is because sometimes we're in this place where we're trying to do it our own selves, and this law thinking has taken over. I'm not going to go into all of this now because it's a whole teaching. But the fact of it is there's no condemnation against you now. There is no condemnation. Now, so if you confess it, he's faithful to forgive it, watch this, and cleanse you of it. So when you did that, if you miss God, then your job next is to do what? Confess it. Am I right about it? Now, when did he know you missed it? See, he didn't know you missed it when you missed it. He knows what you're going to do next week at 3:00 in the afternoon, wherever you are. He knows you're going to be there. He knows what you're going to do. Say amen to that. He has seen it. He provided Jesus so that Jesus could come to your rescue. Now, I'm talking about working of miracles, because you're going to need miracles in your life. And if you got condemnation in there in religion, it won't let miracles work. And you will constantly be criticizing other people. You will constantly be finding the sin in them instead of trying to find the forgiveness about it. And folks know what it will do. It'll put you in prison. You're unhappy all the time. You're mean as a rattlesnake. You can't seem to ever see the good. I'm not talking to you now. I know everybody in here straight. But I'm talking to people that this applies. Are you following what I'm saying? The Bible talks about being holier than thou. It talks about it. Said you walk around holier than thou. That means, hey, I ain't nobody straight but me. You got to work on that. Now, why am I telling you all of this? Because God's got a future for you. But you can't make that future by yourself. You're going to have to rely on him. Say amen to that. Folks, if you find, see, that's why people in the scriptures, the Pharisees, they could say sinner with more syllables than anybody in the world. They could make their mouth. So what am I saying? I'm not talking against them. My point to you is that they didn't want to be touched by people. They didn't. When you're free, you can go into that world. When you're not free, you think the world is trying to come into you. I mean, when I say that, I mean, you're skeptical about going in there because you feel that they're going to rub off on you. Now, if you know who you are, am I right about this now? Let me come over here. If you know who you are, then you can be able to step into those environments and know that nothing can hurt you. I said nothing can hurt you. Even what they say about you can't hurt you. Come on. Even what they think about you can't hurt you. Watch this. And they can't even not promote you, because your promotion doesn't even come from them. Now, you're not going in there getting a big old Bible and hitting them upside the head. What you're going in there is as a living epistle. You're going in there, and by your works, they're going to see this light and be drawn to it and glorify your Father. So let your light so shine Is this making sense to you now? Now, where am I trying to take you? I'm trying to take you to miracles. Because miracles won't work out of a condemned heart. And what I'm telling you is that enemy has tried to contain miracles. Because miracles are proof that the one you serve is alive. They are proof of what you declared is true. Miracles are something that nobody can deny. That's why they said it in the book of Acts. That's why they said it in the Gospels, that even in the Old Testament, the prophet of God was up at a face-off with the prophets of Baal. And he said, call on your God. Let's see what he can do. And they'd dance around there all the way till evening time. They were beating themselves and calling on God, but nothing happened. The prophet stood back and said, he must be on vacation. Wake him up. But then when they got tired, he said, put the altar back together again. He said, so you'll know that this is not some spark that happened to catch this fire. Take water and wet the wood. Then take another thing of water, wet it again. See, soak the wood so you won't think this just accidentally happened. And then he began to call on God Jehovah. He said, thou art God. Now show this people. See, the devil don't want no face off. Because we've been arguing with unbelievers enough. We've been trying to, come on now. We've been trying to be thinking about how our God is and so forth. And so we've been doing that enough. Let's get some notable miracles. Let's get it so who your cousin who been on crack cocaine for 34 years all of a sudden went to the church that night and came out singing the songs of Zion and never touched crack again. Let's get it so that your brother-in-law, or whatever have you, mean as a rattlesnake, he came to the service, now he wants to give his wife everything. Let's get a miracle where here's a guy who came in switching, now he done left out marching like a soldier. Let's get it so that nobody will deny the God that we serve. I got to preach this now. We didn't held back long enough. Come on, we've been politically correct long enough. We've been trying to not step on any toes long enough. But everybody else is coming out of the closet. Let's come out too. You gotta let go of religion. Ain't nothing in it. Gotta let it go. Jesus came to that fig tree, and even though it had leaves on it, wasn't no fruit. Religion don't have no fruit. You can tell when you're in religion because you're the same place this year as you were last year. You gotta hold us up. We gonna get it off you though. That's why you came in here. Religion is self-serving, not serving others. It's all for me. Even when I compliment you, it's to make me feel good. Can I talk about it like it is? I remember the time when they had it in the church and I had gotten saved and I went up there ever to that Baptist church and I came in service that night. They said, tonight, we gonna have a foot washing. I turned to the person who was with me, I said, what is that? They said, that's when they're going to pick you to wash somebody else's feet. I said, what time are we going? What time are we out of here? Folks, God is my witness. I didn't even stay around. I left. I said, I ain't going to wash nobody's stinking feet. I said, something might be on their feet. I don't want it to get on me. You see, I wasn't up to serve them. I was up to serve me. But I wasn't yet sanctified. Oh, I was saved, but not yet sanctified. That God had a work he still had to do in me. Now I'll wash any man's feet. Doesn't make any difference who it is. But religion is extremely self-serving. That's why it's in business. It's in business to make it look good. Whoever that spirit religion is on, they're out to show you something about them. Religion has no thirst for truth. God says he pours water on ground that's what? Thirsty. Sometimes you ask, how could people treat people like that and they're supposed to be saved? Because they've lost their thirst for truth. They can't get revelation. It's being blocked by self-servingness. Religion is one-dimensional. What do I mean by that? I mean, when people come to church, they put a cigarette out. Come on, don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Now, wait a minute, wait a minute. If you got a nicotine habit, you're in the right place. We're going to get rid of it. See that? Don't condemn yourself about it. Just admit that's you and you need to get deliverance. Say amen to this. But what they do, you know, they'll fuss and cuss their wife all the way to the church, you know, to the parking lot. Then they come in and act sanctified. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll see you right after church. Hey, praise the Lord. That's religion, folks. It's one-dimensional. It's inside these four walls. That's where I act nice. But back out there, I'm as mean as a rattlesnake again. You got religion. And that's religion will kill folk. It's the same stuff that this group would burn a cross in people's yard. It kills folks. You saved. But now we got to get you sanctified. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. He comes in you. When you step too far to this side or that side, he convicts you. Are you following what I'm saying? And there ain't nothing wrong with being convicted. Say amen to this. Folks, God has plans for you. But he knows that he give you all that gold while you still got all that other stuff in you. He'll build some kind of a monument that will lead you right away from him. So he's got to clean you out. How many of you don't mind being cleaned out? It's not a bad thing. See, if you got a habit, you came to the right place. Say amen to that. If you, I'm not going to send you to an anger management class. I'm going to send you to the altar. Because I have the knowledge of God. Say amen to that. I can get that anger demon out of you. I know. One came out of me. I mean, I used to be a mad young man. The thing about it, I was short. I said I was. But oh yeah, God had to teach me some things. But what am I saying? I'm saying now, those religious spirits, we got to get rid of them. Because they really are in that category called unbelief. And God calls it, watch what he calls it, an evil heart of unbelief. Man, he tells you to resist evil. You remember the man that Jesus got? And the man asked to be healed. He was blind. And Jesus didn't heal him where he was. He took him out of town and then prayed for him to be healed. Why couldn't he pray for him in town? Because of unbelief. Unbelief is a spirit, and it's designed to block the supernatural of God. See, the devil knows if you don't demonstrate the supernatural somewhere in your life, they got to see a difference between you and them. The enemy doesn't want that. He had to take him out of town. And I tell you, saints, you got a whole church full of unbelief, it's hard to get miracles. But if we can get them religious spirits out of here, miracles will flow like water. Now, what am I saying? Not so somebody can lift themselves up in pride, but so when you bring your cousin who's had a habit for 25 years, or you bring your sister who has been diagnosed and now submitted to hospice care, you can bring them
and they be healed.
Man, that's what you want. All right, let's go to the last place. Are you with me so far? Jesus could do no mighty works in his own hometown because
of unbelief.
And it's contagious, folks. It'll try to get off on you and you not even realize it. But it's like sitting, I almost said sitting by a skunk. But it's like you can smell it. No, let's go on. Let's go to John chapter 6. We'll be finished. Are y'all mad at me for preaching this? See, if you want to be strong, I got to give you a strong word. I can't give you no weak word and expect you to be strong. Remember, religion has no thirst for truth. None. All it wants to do is come sing a couple of songs, stamp their pass, and going out. Well, I went down there just today, praise God. What did the pastor preach about? Well, I don't know. It's pretty good, though. Praise God. He pretty good. You know, he's getting pretty good. That's not the idea. The idea is that you have an encounter with God. See, the supernatural we don't consider. That's why a lot of people, I think, they still haven't gotten that marriage thing together. Because they're still trying to solve a problem that the devil caused. They're trying to solve it naturally. They're trying to go to enough counselors. You know, but you can have one encounter. And he worked a supernatural call. God, let's say the man is a problem. Let's say he's a problem. I'm just taking the hypothetical. If he's a problem and he's mean or whatever have you, you can pray. God will come to him in a dream. Watch this. And tell him like he told Abimelech, if you don't treat your wife right, you're but a dead man. Oh, wow, Jesus. I mean, God. Now, I'm not saying he'd do that, but he did that to Abimelech. Mistreating somebody. Yeah, he was on his way. But my point to you is, I remember the lady, I said, listen, she said, yeah, I want my husband back. I said, is he gone with somebody else? Yes, he is. I said, okay, you want him back now? She said, yes, I want him back. I said, okay, you sure you want him back? Yeah, I want him back. I said, okay, how you want him back? She said, well, I want him back. I said, how about if he comes back with flowers? She said, flowers? I said, yeah, with some flowers in his hand, begging your pardon and so forth and so on. She said, okay, all right, we pray. Not that he'll come back, but he'll come back the way we want him to come back. Come on now, I'm saying, see, the supernatural don't limit God. See, it doesn't. Folks, it said God first preached the gospel to who? Abraham. How did he preach it to him? He didn't have no Bible. Amen. He preached it to him through the stars. The stars tell the story. It starts with the virgin, Virgo, that tells the story all the way to Lego. The lion in Revelations. The astrology, folks, this reading of the star, this astrology thing and all this stuff jumped in with man. The devil's trying to use that. But the Bible tells you the stories in the stars. Folks, this is all supernatural. Say amen to that. We, you know, that thing has degenerated to, hey, what sign you? Well, I'm the cross. What are you? And the cross is in the stars. It's all in there. This thing is so powerful, folks. All right. Where do I have you now? What did I say? Where?
John 6.
John 6. All right. Let me just finish that. Are y'all all right with this? See, I'm going to give you some. See, my people are destroyed. Why? Not lack of money. Not lack of opportunity. Lack of knowledge. It's a knowledge of God that we've got. Orion. The Job talks about. Boy, that book of Job is deep. It talks about the stars. So powerful, they tell a whole story. The gospel is preached. Come outside and look at the stars. Man. This is powerful stuff, folks. But I'm saying you get this knowledge in you and get it in your consciousness. When you walk in a room, devils will part.
Yes, Lord.
He'll part. Because they know you know.
Yes, Lord.
You know. Now I know some people don't like to hear good news. And how can you tell it's good news? Because over in Acts chapter 13 it says, I'm going to tell you some stuff you won't believe. That's when you know it's good news. I think the news from God is so good that it's hard to believe. Can God be that good and forgive me of all of that? Yes, He can. Say, yes, He can. Last place. Oh, we going into this thing. And we're going to have a good time too. All right. So. Where did I tell you John chapter 6? Okay. I'm almost done. Can y'all give me 2 more minutes here? I'm almost finished. Okay, I'm out of time. Okay, all right, okay. All right, let me just finish this. This is the year that you're going into is about to be a spectacular year. Now, I know I'm looking very calm when I deliver this. But I'm going to tell you something. My spirit is jumping on the inside. Because we're about to go into one of the best years you have ever seen in your life, ever. Now in John chapter 6, you know it starts off with Jesus feeding 5,000. Look what it says here in verse 1. And these things Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee into the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw what? His miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. All right? So he worked his miracle and fed all the people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force, to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when the evening was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Say dark.
Dark.
All right, so this was at night. Verse 18. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind, and it blew. So here comes a great wind now. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, that's about 3 or 4 miles, put in your Bible, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. Now here's Jesus walking supernaturally. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Underline, immediately. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereunto his people were entered, and that Jesus went not with his people unto the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Lord have mercy. All right, let's see, can we work this right quick? 2 minutes. Now, this teaching right there that I just read was where Jesus had them to go over. But as they rode at night, can I say paddled, about 4 miles, all of a sudden here comes a wind that was contrary to them, that was keeping them from their destinies. Jesus came to them walking on the sea. First law, whenever you are in trouble, Jesus comes to you. Now, can you recognize it? Because perhaps he comes in a form that you have to receive him by faith. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. So now they're 20 or 30 furlongs, 3 or 4 miles out. They were afraid. He said, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. All right, here's my word to you that is a prophetic word for your life for 2011. You have paddled long enough. You have worked and toiled and struggled long enough. Lord have mercy. Jesus is stepping into your boat. Now, when he stepped into that boat, immediately they were at the other side. Now, this is interesting. Let me make sure you understand this. Because in our natural way of thinking, in our human brain, the way it's designed that we think logically. We think scientifically. We analyze things. The human brain is thinking, well, what's the next step? Now, that's how it works, step by step. It's linear process or progression. It's something that happens one step after another. Now, that's a process. But 2011, it's going to be different. That immediately, they were at the other side. So your season of moving inch by inch is over. That before you had to climb the ladder of success. But you're not going to have to do that anymore. One moment they were here, and the next moment they were here. No, you got to get your mind ready now. You got to get your mind ready. I'm saying that no longer is this thing going to be a natural progression for you. That God is taking away all the middle steps involved in getting you from here to there. That this is a new season for you. And notice their destiny. He didn't move them to there. He didn't speed up the boat and get them there. One moment they were here. You got to get it. The next moment they were here. Oh, boy, boy, you got to get this now. I'm saying that one moment you broke, Come on, you got to get me now. The next moment, you're a millionaire. Oh, one moment, you're sick. Oh, the next moment, no trace of sickness. One moment, you're in trouble. The next moment, you're free. You know what? God did not bring me into your life to move you one inch. I said, God did not bring me here and give me this subject so you'll move from one step to another. We are through climbing up the ladder. We are through going from one process to another. We're going to be one moment here. The next moment, we are here. Now, this is all through the Bible, because now we're dealing with the Jesus of miracles. We're not going to move your business inch by inch. One moment, you're going to be here. Come on now. The next moment, your business is going to have so many customers, you can't even handle them all. Come on now. Come on. All you got to do is believe this. All you got to do is believe. Abraham believed God. I know, in your mind, you're trying to figure out how God is going to do this. And that is a problem with your mind, because it's looking for an analytical process that it can hang on to so it can calibrate your life. What you need to do is let that go, because now it's time for the supernatural. You see, you were born from the supernatural. This is natural supernaturally. You are supposed to operate here all the time. I'm talking about instantly. I'm talking about immediately. I'm talking about straightway. I'm talking about now. Now, notice I didn't say now. That's got time to it. I said now. Glory to God. You got to hear what I'm saying. Give the Lord a praise. That's all I got. This is a new time in your life. Now, if you don't want to follow this, if you don't want to receive it, I'm going to receive it. Our time of struggling is over. No longer is a natural progression in your life. God's going to drop ideas into you. He's going to drop intellect on you. He's going to drop opportunities with you. Contracts going to come in just like that, because we're dealing with Jesus coming into your boat, and he's the Jesus of miracles. Glory to God. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got. Over in Judges chapter 6, here's what he asked. God says, Gideon, my mighty man of valor. Gideon said, oh, let me ask you something. Where are all the miracles that our fathers told us about? And folks, we heard about them. I heard about the miracles of Dwight L. Moody, and the miracles of Oral Roberts, and the miracles of Kenneth Hagin, the miracles of, and some of the ones who were generals back there. Great miracles. One of them, where he was going, God said, I want you to go to Africa. He said, Lord, I don't have a ticket or anything. He said, go to the airport. Went to the airport. He said, get in line. The only thing he's doing now is following the Holy Ghost. Yes. Got in line, started moving. He said, Lord, now I don't have no money. What am I going to tell these people? After he got so close, God said, go in the bathroom. He went in the bathroom. Then he said, what do you want me to do now? Go back out. He went back out of the bathroom and was in the airport in India. Come on. Now, I think India was the destination. I said Africa. I think it was India. But whatever it was, that actually happened to him. Watch this. And he started walking, and a man went up to him. Thank God I found you. Yeah, we got your message that you were coming in, and so forth and so on. Notice, God set up everything. I'm not talking about process.
Amen.
I'm talking about translate. Yes. I'm talking about one moment you're here,
yes,
and the next,
yes,
moment,
yes,
you're here. Are you following this? Get it in your mind. Do you believe God can do this?
Yes.
Say, I'm a believer.
Not a doubter.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you. If you're here now, boy, that's a powerful message right there. You better hold on to that one. Now, there are other places in the Bible that that same thing happened. You need to find them because you need to let your brain go and understand now you're going to walk by your spirit. This is going to be a higher level than your brain can handle. It's going to be in the supernatural. Can we talk a little bit about this for a few? If you're here, God is speaking to your heart about being born again. Remember what I said. Jesus died to forgive us of our sins. And because he did that, we can now come home to God. We don't need to stay out there and be orphaned anymore.